Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. Lord God, we stand amazed, Lord, before you, Lord God, that you care for such as us. And you care for every detail of our lives, Lord God. And you promise, Lord God, to be with us, Lord God, and never to leave us or forsake us. And we thank you for the hope. We thank you for the peace that such a promise holds. And we thank you, Lord God, that you truly keep your word and you are faithful and just. And you, Lord God, undertake for those, Lord God, who will call upon you. Yes. And Lord God, we stand before you tonight and we ask that you direct our understanding, Lord God, by your spirit and by your word. And we pray that you anoint these words, Lord God, and help us to remember them throughout this coming year, Lord God. And Lord God, that you would bless us and keep us and make us your faithful servants. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there are many things in my life that are very precious to me and things that I love and things that I value. I love my husband, my children, my grandchildren, my church family, my friends, and of course I love my Lord and Saviour. But there's one thing that I love and value greatly, and it's guided my life, my actions, my responses, my choices. It's given me hope, it's given me peace, it's given me joy and guidance and direction and encouragement. And that's the written word of God.
Amen.
I love
Amen.
The Bible. To some, it's just a book. Some have never read it. I had never read it before, I got to say. Yeah? To some, it's just a theological interest. Yeah? To some, it has no value and no worth whatsoever. But to me, it's one of my most precious possessions. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for the men and the women who have gone before us mm-hmm. that we can read it in our own language. Mm-hmm. And we have that privilege of being able to turn to the Word of God whenever we need it, whenever we want to. Mm-hmm. And that's a real privilege that we have in this generation. Tonight, I want to share with you a bit why it's so important and so valuable and of so much worth to me, in the hope that you too, and I'm sure most of you do anyway, will learn to love and value the Word of God and hold it as something precious and valuable to your life, and that it will guide and direct you and bless your life just as it has mine, you know, and that we hold true to the truth that's in those pages, you know. Many of you, and not if not all of you, will know it's not one book, but 66 different books. And, it was written not by one person, but over hundreds of years and in three different languages, you know. And it contains poetry, hymns, history, prophecy. It tells us about the things in the past, and it tells us about the things that are to come. You know, it tells us about the creation of this world and the destruction of this world. You know, it speaks clearly and without any ambiguity on some subjects, but others are hidden in pictures and allegories, shadows and types. Yes. You know, it speaks of nations and it speaks of individuals. But most importantly, it tells us who our God is and what he is like. You know, Hebrews 10 and verse 7 says, "In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God." You and I not only need to know what we believe, that's sensible, yeah, but why we believe it. But more importantly, we need to know the God who has written the book.
Amen.
We need to know him who is the author and finisher, not only of the book, but of our faith, you know. God wants that personal relationship with each and every one of us. And I look at myself and I wonder why. But it's a wonderful and amazing thing that the God of heaven and earth, who created heaven and earth, he wants you and I to have a personal relationship with him. Yeah? In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it says that the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, and asks the question, who can know it? You know, We want a heart relationship with God, and yet the human heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And there's one simple answer to that, and that's God.
Yes.
And God alone, who knows and understands each and every one of our hearts. And I like that word in the Bible, equity. God will judge with equity. He'll take everything into account. Everything. He knows us. He knows every experience of our life. He knows every time we've been abused or badly treated or whatever. He knows the beginning from the end, and he will judge with equity. Every single one of us. And I like that. God understands the beginning from the end. And the Bible warns us that mankind is prone to making a God of their own imagination. And this is why we need the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't want our desperately wicked hearts to make up a God that we want him to be like. And so many people do exactly that. They invent the God they want rather than read of the God as how he is. There's lots of things we don't understand in the Word of God. Lots of things we maybe don't like. Lots of things that confront us and challenge us. But we need to know the God as he is, not as we want him to be. Yeah? Isaiah 44 and verse 10 says, "Who would form a God of or mould an image? That profits him nothing." Why make up this God? It will profit you nothing. I'm not going to read it now, but I want you to, in your own time, turn to Psalm 115 and verses 3 through 8 there. It tells of them making images, they've got eyes, but they don't see, ears, but they don't hear, and all that. What is the point? It says those who make it are like the thing they've made. They're dumb and blind, and they cannot move. They don't understand a God of their own making. And God forbid that we ever make God of our own making. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 warns us that we should be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the NIV, if you've got that translation, puts it this, the same verse, this way. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We need to not allow our own deceitful hearts, our own imaginations to create a God of our own thinking. We need to bring it into captivity, every thought, to conform to the image and obedience of Christ. We need to be aware of ourselves, but we also need to be aware of other people, that we're not deceived by our own carnal nature, and we're not deceived by other people who claim to know so much. One of the things that I like most about the Bible is its honesty and its reality. It doesn't paint false pictures about anything. It tells you as it is. Many times it's black and white, and I think, how can you not see it? It's there in black and white. You know, it's written there so clearly, so plainly, so obviously to so many times. And it doesn't paint false pictures of its heroes. You look at the great men and women of the faith in the scriptures, Abraham, David, Samson, Peter. They were real people with real weaknesses. They had real failures in their walk with God at times, but they were really successful in the kingdom of God. I love that because it gives me encouragement, you know? It helps me. It inspires me. You know, we do not have to be perfect. None of us are, and none of us are going to reach it this side of heaven. No. We have to be willing to try and to follow God. God's word is an anchor for our faith. And God's spirit promises to lead us into all truth. We've got that. Two-edged sword in one sense.
Amen.
It will guide us and direct us, and it will anchor us to the truth, if we're willing. We need not only to accept God's word as a truth. A lot of people say they believe God's word is truth, and they say that with their, and they believe that in their minds, but we need to practice it daily in our lives. Hebrews 5 and 14 says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Their senses exercised by reason of use. As you can see, I do not go to the gym. You know, but when you go to the gym, that exercise strengthens you and builds up your muscles. And, you know, we need, it says bodily, you know, that bodily discipline is of some value, but spiritual discipline is of great value. And we need to exercise by reason of use, putting the word of God into practice, into use in our lives, in our everyday situations, our everyday circumstances. That's when we grow, and we can then learn to discern both good and evil. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you, can you turn to Colossians? And I'm going to read chapter 2. But I like the book of Colossians. It's a letter written by Paul the Apostle to the church at Colossae. And a church that was founded on the truth, but is starting to stray away from the simple faith and the simple truths that are found in Jesus Christ. And I love the songs that we've sang tonight, because they've been reiterating the centrality of Christ in the importance of working and walking according to the word of God. And chapter 1 of Colossians does exactly the same. It's that preeminence and that superiority of Jesus Christ, especially verses 9 through 18. And it tells us of the importance of our reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ. And it tells us of our calling to service. But like I said, I want us to read chapter 2. So I'm going to start chapter 2, verse 2, it says on my page here. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom, of self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Paul there is warning the church not to be distracted from Jesus. Yes. Not to be distracted by philosophy, by legalism, or by carnality. And those three things, philosophy, legalism and carnality, will so easily and so continually battle with us and try to deceive us and try to draw us away from the truth and the counsel and the reality of all that is contained in Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. If we are to overcome, we need to put on the whole armour of God. The battleground so often is our minds. Now, God deals with our hearts, but the devil tempts our minds. And he comes and he sends his fiery darts of doubt, lust, selfishness. He'll inflame our thinking and try to draw us away from the simple truth of obedience to Jesus Christ and to God's word. You know, Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. True Christianity isn't legalism, it certainly isn't carnality, and it's not just a philosophy, it's a heart relationship with the living God. If that truly exists within a person, there'll be evidence of that in their lives, and the quality of their character will be displayed. You know, don't get me wrong, we all make mistakes, we're all a work in progress, none of us, as I've said, are perfect, but none of the men and women in the Bible were either. Yeah, if we walk in obedience to God, that will be evidenced in our lives. Others will see it, even if we can't see it ourselves. Sometimes all we can see is the carnal nature and the ugly flesh that rises its head too often, you know. But it will be evidenced in the way we live, the way we speak, and the things that we do or don't do. And if it isn't, then please check yourself out with God's word and God's spirit. But religion wants to press us into its mould. The world wants to press us into its mould, but we should allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to mould us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 8 and verse 29 through 30 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. It's all of God. It's all what Jesus Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Colossians 3 verse 10 says, and having put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. And this is one of my favourite scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Oh, thank God. Thank God it's not of us. You know, I'm the image of the man of dust, but Jesus Christ will conform us to his image. He's begun that work in us here and now, and he will complete that work, it tells us elsewhere in Scripture. Romans 12 and 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. As I've said, the battleground is the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That transformation of our character into the likeness of Jesus Christ doesn't come through philosophy, doesn't come through religion or legalism. It doesn't come from carnality, that's for sure. It comes from the renewing of the way we think and from bringing our minds into line with what God's word says. That's why the word of God is so important. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I want to read all of that beginning part of Romans 12 verse 1 through 21 I've got here. So please bear with me. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God's word is a crucial element in the factor of renewing our minds and the way we think and therefore the way we act. We can't act like that. We can't put those things into practice with our carnal, selfish, fleshly natures. We need God to change the way we think so that we can let his spirit work in us and flow through us and change our perspective. Somebody said tonight in one of the testimonies and or prayers, and it was so lovely, that that's what God does. You know, we think one thing, but God hears our prayers even before we ask, and he moves on our behalf and helps us. Yeah? We are blessed people.
Yes.
Listen carefully now to what I'm going to read. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Whose minds, it's talking about those who aren't saved, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The way our minds are renewed is by God's word, by God's spirit.
Yes, amen.
It's not by philosophy, it's not by legalism, it's not by carnality. It's all by Christ working in us. Titus 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes,
through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is a work of God in each and every one of us. We haven't earned it. We could never be worthy of it. We don't deserve it. It's a gift of God to each and every one of us. All we had to do was respond rightly to the word of God and the truth of God's word when his spirit prompted us.
Yes.
And that's all we have to continue to do. If we do that, God will do the rest.
Amen.
You know, so easy we got bogged down with this and bogged down with that and bogged down with the other. Listen to God, read his word, respond to the truth that God reveals to you in it. God will challenge each one of us differently, but we'll all eventually go through the same things sooner or later in our lives. But it may be at different times and in different ways and in different circumstances. God works in us according to his plan and purpose for our lives. It's all of him. And we just have to go with him, work with him, respond to him, and continue to allow him to transform the way we think. I didn't think I was a sinner before I got saved, until somebody told me God's word. I didn't know that, you know. I didn't know I had to repent. I thought I wasn't a bad person, you know. I was so wrong. You know, we can't do it by ourselves. It only happens as we obey God's word and follow the guidance of his Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Let me just add in here one thing. God wants to transform your character into the likeness of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to transform your personality. You know, a lot of people want you all to be the same, like little robots, dress the same, where you read the same Bible, you know, go through, ooh, got to think like this, act like this, do this. No, God's not interested in transforming your personality. He's interested in transforming your character into his likeness. If you look at nature, you can see that our God loves diversity. And each thing in nature, wherever it is in the world, from the microscopic to the stars of the heaven, beautiful in their own way and in their own time. And so are we. Each and every one of us are beautiful in God's sight. And God has a purpose that's individually based for each and every one of us. We don't have to be like the person next to us. We have to be what God calls us to be.
Yes.
We have to do what God wants us to do, not necessarily what somebody else wants you to do. God works with each and every one of us, and his character can be reflected in our characters, in our lives, in the way we show love and mercy and compassion to others. in the way we are faithful and way we serve one another. All that should be evidenced and seen in us, all the things that we've read tonight, you know, and that the scripture contains. Ephesians 2 and 10 puts it so beautifully. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. It's not our own self. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can't do it through philosophy. We can't do it through carnality. And we cannot do it through legalism. We have to go the one way that's been provided through Jesus Christ. Now, either Jesus was telling a great big porcupine lie there, you know, and we shouldn't listen to him, or he was speaking the truth. He was either a religious madman claiming to be the only way of salvation, or he was speaking the truth. And I believe he's speaking the truth, and I believe the scriptures support that and back that up. When we're tempted by the devil, we need to do what Jesus did. When he was tempted by the devil, he overcame by quoting the scriptures. The scriptures is powerful. It's not just a book. It's a living word. And we need to learn to fight, take up that sword of the Spirit and battle the enemy with the word of God.
Amen.
And that when it comes, all those doubts and those fiery darts in your mind and heart, we have a resource in the word of God to fight and contend. We have to stand on the word of God. We have to obey the word of God. We have to practice the word of God. We need to fight that good fight and stand and put our faith in God and his word. I want to just read to you there from Ephesians 6. You all know this, the verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not our might. I am weak, very weak, but God is powerful. And we can stand in the power, not of our own flesh, because that's weak, but in the power of his might. He's Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. Stand in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Spiritual warfare is very real. Yeah? And it's a daily battle. You know, and you read the armour of God there that he's provided for us. Most of it is for our protection. It's defensive armour. But he gives us the sword. That's a weapon. And that's the word of God. It's a powerful weapon. You know, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It breaks down every false lie and every imagination. When people come to you with things that aren't scriptural, we don't want nothing to do with it, you know? Stand on the word of God. It's there for your help, for your protection, for your guidance, you know? It's there for you to wage war with. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a wonderful and powerful scripture. Yeah? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've got a lot to learn. A disciple is a follower, a learner. And I have got a lot to learn. You know, but he says you shall know the truth. And that truth is what sets us free.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The word of God reveals the true God to us. Not a God of our own imaginations, not a God of somebody else's imagination, not a God of religion. But it reveals the true God to us. It teaches how we should live, how we should respond. And it gives us that knowledge, because spirituality is not head knowledge. It's life practice. God is practical. He wants to help you where you are. He doesn't want it to be in a sweet, sweet by and by, in a never and never. But how you live today, how you face your problems today or in this coming year, how you deal with the problems that are coming your way, how you deal with the blessings that are coming your way. Sometimes they can be a bigger snare as the problems, you know. It's how we put the word of God into practice in our lives. James 1 and verse 21 through 25 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow with wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Beautiful, isn't it? It all fits. It's wonderful. The word of God is so amazing. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, otherwise you're deceiving yourselves. It's not somebody else that's deceiving you then, it's your own self. If you don't put it into practice, you've heard it but don't do it, well, you're just deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It's the doer of the word that is blessed. You want the blessing of God on your life, you need to put his word into practice in your life. Religion will fail you. Philosophy will fail you. Legalism will fail you. Carnality will definitely fail you. But God will not. The real God of the Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God will lead us. God will direct us. God will go before us. He will be there for us if we want him to be. We need to learn to stand on God's word. We need to learn to love God's word. We need to learn, more importantly, to obey God's word. And the God of peace will be with us. That's what the scripture promises in Philippians 4 and verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. We need the God of peace in this turmoil world in which we live. God is no respecter of persons. He desires that all men come to the knowledge of truth. You know, and that truth is found in his word. The spirit of truth will lead us and guide us into all that truth. Bring understanding to us, you know, if we're willing. I hope, and I'm sure you do, love the word of God.
Yes.
And you learn that it's one of your most precious possessions in your life. Yeah. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord God, with the ability to read it in our own language, Lord, so that we don't stand, Lord God, on just the words of men. We don't stand, Lord God, on the teachings of some church, but we stand upon your word, Lord God. And that, Lord, you can speak to us by your spirit, through your word, and you can work your miracles in our lives, that you can renew the way we think. You can transform our lives and our perspectives. Yes. Lord God, that you can change us from one degree of glory into another, till we bear the image of your Son. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this hope that you've placed within our hearts and in our lives. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity. And we pray that in this coming year, Lord God, You will help us to move forward, Lord God, in all that you have planned and directed for us. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Suzanne, would you mind if we sing that new song, the first one, again?